Okay, let's say we ran out of steam there, huh?
Yeah.
Just a little quick taste.
So by the intro, you know that we are going to talk Star Wars today, obviously.
Yes.
Episode 23.
We're going to celebrate Star Wars.
23. We are.
And my best friend.
Mark Hamill. Yes. Yes. We're never going to hear the end of it. Yes. That's going to be the bane of the podcast existence.
Total
in
bastards.
Future episodes, I will be bringing my photo with Mark Hamill. Yeah.
He's gonna make a Mark Hamill voice too that goes along with that photo.
That's what he's gonna do,
are
right?
You totally put like his picture on a pillow or something.
I'm thinking about getting the cardboard cutout and just replacing John with the cardboard.
Cardboard.
And I'll hand the mic to him. So
or John
Mark.
Could just wear the mask.
There you go.
Yeah.
Even better.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, Men of the Cave, episode 23. Yes, it's
23.
That's a lot of episodes already.
I was like, is it 23? Yes, it is. 23.
So we have a full room today, a full cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got, of course, Johnny Dangerous here.
Woo!
We got Hot Sauce.
Yes.
We got Gilliam.
Oh, yeah.
We got a guest today. Steve is not here, so we have a guest. This is Lorenzo.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
We're going to just call him Zo.
Woo!
Zo. I like that, Zo.
For the Zohan.
Like, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Zoltan.
He's got it. He's got his own hand.
Do the bubble wrap.
Hand motion.
The bubble wrap.
So, and of course, like always, I'm here because I have to be.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't work without me. I'm gonna come home from work one day. Y'all are gonna be up here recording. I'm gonna be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, we're just like, we're gonna ask you to leave right now.
And then the door just shuts.
Girl, close the door. That's not nice. That's not nice, John.
You're gonna be like, yeah, we're in the middle of recording.
That's not nice for the person that's always late.
That's how I roll, man.
Always late.
Mr. Fashionably
late. That's how I roll.
So, we got Star Wars tonight. We're going to talk some cable news.
Cable.
We couldn't get to it last week because we had a lot of stuff to talk about.
We did talk about it.
What else we got?
Taco about it.
What else do we got, Gil?
I'm intoxicated.
new Myst, the
TV series?
TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen King Myst TV series. And what else, Hot Sauce?
I know Krypton.
Krypton, it's a new show on Sci-Fi, I think, that's coming out.
I have a feeling it's going to destroy Supergirl as far as the ratings go.
Yep, I think so. Yes, we'll talk about that more, though.
It looked really good.
No little previews. So we're going to delve right into Star Wars because, as everybody knows, 40th anniversary celebration.
That's huge.
And if you were there, then you were a very lucky person.
Lucky bastards.
I mean, the director... Rian Johnson,
yeah,
walked and met every single person that was waiting in line.
He was like there for like
really
three or
cool.
like four,
three, four
o- over 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Every single person, like that's legit.
That's very humbling, though.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I would ask for a job.
They actually have it on video where he comes up and he says he has a bullhorn, and I don't think everybody knew who he was, and he says, you know, my name is Rian Johnson. I am the director of Episode 8. And everyone starts going crazy. And he's like, please, please, everybody stay where you are. He goes, I'm going to come around, mm-hmm. and I'm going to meet each and every one
no
of you. I really want to meet everybody.
Wow.
But stay where you are. I will come to you.
That's
you
awesome.
Don't have to come to me. And he thanked everybody, and then he got started. And from what I understand,
that's so legit.
If I'm correct, he finished at over 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he was there supposedly really late.
Yeah.
Every single person
in line,
yeah.
he met him. So... I gotta give, you know,
amazing.
I think that's what's good about keeping directors fresh for the movies.
It's a humbling experience.
Yeah, well, and they don't get tired of it.
True.
You know, like you think George, you know, everyone knows George Lucas, and it's like you can kind of see his face when they're like, hey man, we got Celebration coming. He's gonna be like,
yeah.
Again. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
kind of get that feeling. But when you have a new director,
fresh blood.
Yeah, it keeps it fresh. Hey, Zo, go ahead and scoot up a little bit, man. I want you to be right next to me.
Gotta be in the mix.
There we go.
In the mix.
I'm tired of
it.
There we go.
You can smell it. Let's go.
So, as always on the podcast, we keep it candid. We don't...
Right.
We really don't cut. We don't cut nothing. I think we've only edited twice in 23 episodes.
Once?
Maybe once, yeah.
Individuals said,
yeah.
Which was not very...
Was it PC? A hot sauce love fest for Mark Hamill that was just went too far?
That's what it was.
I knew it.
So at Celebration, we recorded the day before Celebration kicked off.
Yeah.
And
oopsie.
We thought about making a makeup, but a bonus episode because the episode 8 trailer premiered.
It was like the emergency episode.
So, man, it was an awesome trailer. Everybody here saw it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we're gonna. Zoe, what do you think? What did you see in the trailer? Give me one thing you saw in that trailer that got you really excited.
I think the one thing that I saw was the ancient books and the old symbol. So that means that it means something else than what we originally thought it meant. Because it's obviously way older than anything that happened in the original 3 episodes. So that was what caught my eye.
I believe somebody was saying that they think that might actually be a book of one of the journals of the Wills. Which, if you're familiar with if you're a Star Wars nerd, you know that the original title was The Star Wars and the Adventures of Luke Skywalker as taken from The Journal of the Wills was the original title when he first wrote it. So The Journal of the Wills was always something big, and if you've seen Rogue One, you'll know that Baze and Chirrut's characters, they were actually Guardians of the Wills.
Yes,
so that's very interesting. What did you see, Gil? Give me one thing.
Not seen, what heard.
What did you hear?
The very end, where the Jedi must end.
Yeah, that's what everybody's talking about, huh?
Hamill's saying that, we're done, bro. It's got to go away.
It's kind of disturbing,
that's
what
stuck,
right?
The, stuck the most.
It's the, we'll get, we're gonna break the trailer down, though, theory-wise. Yeah. So let's just... Hot Sauce, what did you see? The one thing you saw that gets you excited for Episode 8?
That was what stuck out for me, too, because my theory is that Luke's gonna go through those
suck on it.
all those textbooks or whatever he has there, and discover there's always been a really dark side and a really good side, some type of compromise to where they can just find the actual balance and go from there. That's what I'm thinking that whole thing's gonna be about.
Okay, very interesting. Very
Balance to the
Force. What'd you see, John?
The trailer was cool, but it didn't really pique my interest. What got me was the movie poster. I thought that was pretty cool, how it showed Rey holding the lightsaber. You saw the blue on the bottom, but on top you saw the red lightsaber.
You think they mean something?
I think it does.
It's not the official poster, though. It's just a teaser poster.
Really?
Yes. Oh. So for people that think that's the official poster, it's just kind of a tease. You know, they got to sell it.
Yeah, true.
Are they going to keep the red Star Wars logo on this one?
I don't know. They didn't talk about that.
They just kind of like it.
There was so much done and seen that they didn't even go into that. So what I saw, you know, my cousin, John in California, was like, it didn't wow him. And you know what? I had to agree with him.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
It didn't wow me.
It was a teaser, guys.
It had its moments. I'm gonna break it down for you. This is why it didn't wow me. Okay, so it brought up more questions than it answered.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. But it's like we've already. Episode 7 was the wow trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, because 35 years, however many years it was in the making. Just to see Han Solo and Luke, and you know, that was just like wow, wow, wow. But now that we're into the series and we've had a year to talk about it, we've seen Rogue One. It's not like Star Wars has been gone, and it's back. It's been back for years now. Yeah. You know, Rebels. If you watch Rebels, Rogue One, Episode 7, then it's very saturated. So there's nothing wow about it. It's like, you're dissecting the trailer. Like what's going to happen? That's how I see it. It didn't like, oh my god, I got, of course I loved it.
Yeah.
I watched it like 10 times in one day.
Would you see the side by side of the original teaser of Force Awakens
if you put them side by side, the action shot, everything's almost the same.
Yeah, they just line up perfectly, which is interesting.
The things that I saw that were really interesting in there was the Jedi Temple burning and Luke seeing it.
Because
I want to know what happened. You know, I want to know how did that Jedi Temple, you know, we know that Kylo Ren had something to do with it, but I want to see it happen.
That's supposed to be the first Jedi Temple ever made, wasn't it? Like the original?
No.
Or was it the last?
No, where he's at is The first Jedi Temple.
Yeah, the first, okay.
But the temple that was burning was his Jedi Academy.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I want to see, because if Luke is really saying the Jedi must end, which he's confirmed that it's his voice, mm-hmm. I think that line's going to happen in the beginning of the movie when mm-hmm. she wants to train with him, and he's very just...
He's
heartbroken, bitter. Project,
yeah.
He doesn't want to have nothing to do with it. He's kind of defeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he's going to say, I know the Jedi must end. A lot of people think it's the Grey Jedi. But the guy, the creative, the guy that's the head of all the creative stuff for Lucasfilm, his name is Pablo Hidalgo. He's the one that says, you can make this, you can't. You can do this, you can't. That's his position now. He's like the Star Wars historian. He knows everything and anything about Star Wars.
Wow.
He does not like...
Pick his brain.
He does not like the idea of Grey Jedi. He went on his Twitter and he said, I don't like Grey Jedi because there's a reason why there's a dark and a light. It's supposed to have polar opposites. That's the whole point of it.
It's supposed to be a balance, yeah.
Yes. But I mean, there's not supposed to be no middle. He says, there is no gray. You're either dark or you're light. Hmm. And that's what the struggle is. And so since he says that, don't expect to see any Grey Jedi because he is the one who...
Because why are they trying to go more modern, more realistic? The gray is more what more people can actually relate to.
Yeah, but it makes it harder.
Nobody's a Boy Scout and nobody's freaking evil, but like...
It's like...
Most people are gray.
It's like to get into heaven.
Yeah.
You got these rules you're supposed to follow. There's no mixing of the rules. You're either going to follow them and go to heaven, yeah, or you're not going to follow them. You know what I mean? That's...
Yeah.
I get... It's harder that way.
But look what they did with Superman. Like on the newer one. Like... Before, like, nobody wanted to see Superman because he's, like, so boring. He's always goody-two-shoes. Like, nobody wants to see that all the time, so they made him more darker. So why can't we have that kind of same feel?
Well, the problem with Superman is it's set in the realistic world.
Yeah.
So realistically, you couldn't see a guy that could be that strong that wouldn't harm an individual because it might accidentally happen. This is fantasy. You know, we're a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So
yeah,
this
yeah.
is just my opinion on it, and I do agree with him. I like the concept of it. But it's just too easy to say, like, okay, you could be part light and part dark, and you can kick ass like that. I think it's just too easy. Hot sauce.
I think it's going to be some type of balance, but I don't think he likes the terminology of the Grey Jedi. So mm-hmm. he wants it to be its own thing that they're going to create without having to call it that specifically.
A different organizational name.
And look at the poster, too. Like, it's exactly if... Kylo Ren is on the complete opposite and Luke's on the complete opposite, then Rey is going to be the one of the first ones to be
in
right
between.
In the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe.
That's one interpretation. Mm-hmm. One interpretation could be, too, that Luke's on the light, Kylo's on the dark, and they're both trying to pull her to their side because Kylo still wants to train her to the dark side, and so does Luke, the light. So maybe it's just like a juxtaposition of both sides, the light and the dark, and they're both, and she's in the middle, and she's like trying to fight.
What do you think?
Trying to go to one or the other.
What do you think, John? Do you think that having a Grey Jedi point of view, do you think that that's important to the story, or do you think not?
I mean, I could see where they can see it as a cheat. You know, it's like almost like a loophole. You know, you'd be like, oh, we got our Grey Jedis here in the middle. But yeah. The thing about that, though, is that there's supposed to be how many Force users now?
There's not very many left.
Not very many left.
As far as, like, fully trained Jedi, it's just it's just Luke. And the director said...
Exactly.
Yes.
See, so then if the great Jedis are going to be something, they're going to be something, like, very, like... You're going to see the setup of great Jedis. It's not going to be something, like, previous people should be having, you know?
What do you think, Zoe? I see you got that deep thought look on your face.
I don't know if it's deep thought or what, but has there ever been Grey Jedis in the history of this universe?
Yes, yes.
Because that's what I thought. So there's... No, there has not.
The canon's... The old EU's gone. So,
okay.
Rebels? So, but Rebels doesn't have a Grey Jedi.
He's not a Grey Jedi.
Darth
Bindu
Maul?
Is a Force wielder. A Force user.
Yeah,
Force wielder?
Doesn't
yeah.
they say that Darth Maul's a...
No,
Grey
Darth
Jedi?
Maul's a dark Jedi. He's a Sith. He's
then
a...
Ahsoka
the dark Jedi? She's just a Jedi that didn't finish her training.
Yeah.
She's
closer to Grey, but not fully.
She's a Jedi that doesn't follow the Jedi Order.
Like Qui-Gon.
So
like
then
Qui-Gon.
A Grey Jedi.
Because Qui-Gon
would
to be...
Well, see, a Grey Jedi uses dark powers. So technically she wouldn't be a Grey Jedi because she's not using dark powers.
Mm-hmm.
She's using light. She just doesn't follow the Jedi's rules. It would be like if you were a Jedi and you got married. It wouldn't make you a great Jedi. You just didn't follow the rules.
Yeah. I just, I think I have to, I've been thinking about it. But of course, I know all you guys have thought about it. But, you know, the old prophecy about the one that brings balance to the Force. What if that's more than just somebody who, you know, takes out the Emperor, you know, with, when Anakin did it. And, well, was it going to be Luke? And what if it's actually Rey? That she's the one that brings balance to the Force and being that's the first theory, split yeah. in both sides, you know?
If she, well, if you've watched Clone Wars, which I know we had talked about, you said right. you didn't see it. And we've talked about this already because yeah. we've seen it. There's an episode on there where Anakin travels to this Force planet with Obi-Wan and Ahsoka.
And that's canon, right? That's
that's official yeah. canon. Yeah, anything yes. Clone Wars, that's all official canon.
This is an M, I think.
Yeah, it's nobody can see it. Only they get kind of sucked into it. It looks yeah. like there's nothing there, and they go through like a tear in the fabric of space, and then they're on this planet, and there's the son who's the dark side, the daughter is the light side, and then the old man is the balance.
The father.
He's the balance. He keeps them each in check. And when Anakin gets there, they tell him, you know, if you can get in between them and stop them, then you are the balance. And he does.
And he's the chosen one.
He is the chosen one. So he tells him, your destiny is to take my place. Because he's old. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to keep them in check. And he rejects it. He doesn't want to do it. You know, he wants to be with Padme. You know, which is that struggle all the time with him is mm-hmm. the love, you know, the attachment. Yeah. And so it doesn't allow him to do what he's supposed to do. And in the end of it, I'm just going to go through really briefly because we talked about this on another episode. But in the end, the son kills the daughter. So the dark side kills the light side. And then Anakin, with the old man's help, kills both of them. The old man and the son together. He's hugging him and Anakin stabs him in the back. Goes through both of them, kills them both. So the Force is kind of thrown out of whack. What I really like about that episode, though, is the son shows Anakin what he's going to become. Because he wants him to be. He's like, you need to join me. And together we can rule. And he's like, no, I'm a Jedi. He goes, but that isn't your destiny. And he shows him that he's going to become Darth Vader. What he's going to do. And he turns to the dark side. And he fights Obi-Wan and all that. Well, he starts doing bad things. And then the old man wipes his memory. Before, yeah. So he doesn't remember.
Like
but all it does is kind of like, you know, because it's sad. The story of Darth Vader is it's a tragedy. He's the hero that falls. It's a tragedy that you see in any kind of old Greek mythology tale, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean. And George Lucas was big on like Joseph Campbell's stuff like that. And so
it's the classic
heroine hero. That yes, the tragic hero. And it is sad, but that episode really like impacted me because it showed me that no matter what, he was going to become dark. Like there was really nothing.
That was his destiny.
It was like yeah, destiny.
Yeah, it was not. It was that's just what it was going to be. And so, you know, now when we come back to this, it would be interesting to see a great Jedi. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be, but I think it's kind of a cop out because it's so easy to just say I'm going to be the middle, and use. It's like when you're playing a video game and you're the good person or you're the bad. You have the choice. Mm-hmm. That video game doesn't let you flirt with it. Yeah. You know, you're either bad or you're good. And so that's the whole point. and so I think what Luke is saying is. He tried to do the way the Jedi were supposed to, and it didn't work. So I'm thinking he's either defeated and he just doesn't want to help her, and that's what he's saying. The Jedi, I think the Jedi must end. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Or he's read the philosophy of them, and he realizes after thousands and thousands of years, it just doesn't work. So he's talking about the way the Jedi Order was built needs to end and needs to start fresh.
Yeah, it could be like you said, that it's something that comes out in the beginning of the movie, and it just pulls you in, like, because you just saw that little part of the trailer and you're thinking, oh my god, you know, this is gonna happen, but it was just something that maybe Rey need to work on him some more to train her or something like that. It could be very misleading, you know.
Well, there was two very, and I watched a lot of the celebration, so there was two very interesting things that Mark Hamill said and Rey said. They interviewed for ABC because Disney owns ABC, so they had an interview. Okay. And there was a couple of things in there. One of them was that they asked Rey, Daisy Ridley. And Mark Hamill, if there was anything in the script that, like, surprised them. And she's like, yes, I read the script, and I went to the director, and I knocked on and said, we need to talk about this. And Mark Hamill said that he told them, I don't agree.
Yeah.
Fundamentally,
he doesn't agree with it, period.
With the way they're going with his character. And they told him, like, you just have to trust us. And so that's kind of disturbing because it... I mean, totally honest, if they kill Luke Skywalker, I will be very upset because he's the last one of the legacy. And if Rey... And if Rey, even if she is a Skywalker, which I think she is, a Skywalker or a Solo,
yeah.
It's you still can't replace, like, Luke.
No.
Like, Luke is so iconic.
What do you think they're going to do, a cop-out and just make it like Episode 5?
Empire Strikes Back? Mm-hmm. It looks like it. Because there's also the scene
or
of the...
cross between 4 and 5, so where, like, the Obi-Wan, where he just, you know, kills himself or lets himself die just to become the Force Jedi.
I hope not.
Luke would be the same thing.
I want to see something fresh. I love Star Wars. I do. I love it. And The Force Awakens was good. I know a lot of people complained about it, but I can watch that movie every day, and I can watch the whole movie and not skip through it. That's how I know that it's a good movie to me. What do y'all think if they killed Luke? How would you feel?
It would suck, but I kind of see it coming.
Disappointed. Like, you figure that's what they're going to do, so.
I don't want to overthink it.
I'm going to probably sound like a sexist, but there has to be a lead dude role. Man. I'm gonna have to say there has to be a good dude.
What about you, Zo?
You know, I hope he doesn't die. If he does die, it'll of course be disappointing unless they let him go out the way he should go out.
Mm-hmm.
And before, if he does die, I hope he doesn't. But if that's in the cards, I hope to see him show his full Jedi prowess at some point in the new trilogy. You know, as far as skill-wise, fighting-wise, I want to see what he can do.
It definitely worries me hearing...
Snoke, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. It definitely worries me to hear these things, right? You hear, you know, because Mark Hamill is... Yeah. He is Luke Skywalker, and he's always been gracious with his character, mm-hmm. and real nice to people and when he meets them. And for him to say that, there's got to be something wrong in there. Not necessarily he's going to die, because they have been saying that now the Skywalker saga looks like it's going to end on 9.
Mm-hmm.
So
killing the second Starkiller.
Yeah, so if Rey is a Skywalker, then how do they not continue it if they're going to stop the Skywalker saga?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would preferably like to see him just fade away slowly, not die, but like become like the Jedi Master that teaches... And they can start a new Jedi Order, so to speak.
That would be pretty cool.
And I think that's a smart way to do it, because you can push forward with the story with new characters.
Yeah.
But you always have him. Because, I mean, he's like the foundation, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's Luke Skywalker.
That's like my dream happy ending. That he would just kind of continue on past 9, but be kind of the mainstay.
I think it's kind of hard though.
Han's gone.
Exactly. Like,
Luke's the last to be there.
You can't really just
unless
get
they kill Chewie, which I hope they don't do that.
They killed him in the books. I remember that.
Don't die, Chewie.
They dropped a freaking moon on him.
God damn.
In the book, yeah.
Took a moon to kill Chewie.
Yeah, they dropped a moon on him.
Even then,
this thing went out like a baller.
Supposedly, they said that in the new books that they gave Snoke's identity. Is that true?
They've kind of hinted at where he comes from.
Outer Rim.
Where?
Outer Rim.
He's from the Outer Rim, yeah.
Was it the General... What's it?
Thrawn?
No, not Thrawn. That's supposed to be... That had went into the Outer Rim to find Snoke. A female general.
She's in the books. I forget what her...
She's the one...
Admiral Dalla or something like that. I don't know. I've read so many Star Wars books, I could...
By the way, Thrawn book's already out, so I'm curious if Steven's already read it or not.
And I'm pretty sure Steven's all over that.
I've read, like, the sample. It's a couple pages, and it seems pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, anything Thrawn's got to be really good. I had this is what I thought, going back to the poster theory. What if Rey turns to the dark side,
and
Kylo comes back to the good and becomes the hero? I could see that.
So then when Rey kills Luke, and then Kylo, like, tries to save Luke?
Or she just turns bad.
On her own?
You know, because... another interesting thing that Daisy Ridley said is, was it Daisy Ridley or somebody said it? Actually, two cool things. The first one, Daisy Ridley said that it shows you that not all your heroes are what you think they are, and you meet them and they can disappoint you.
Yeah.
The second interesting thing is on the panel for The Last Jedi, it had Luke, it had Mark Hamill, Daisy Ridley, Finn, Kathleen Kennedy, who is mm-hmm. the president of Lucasfilm. And Rian Johnson, the director. So Mark Hamill's talking, and he's like, "What you know, when you see the episode 8, you're gonna understand so much more that that it's not Luke's story anymore.
Yeah, she's a protagonist.
Not he's like it's not Luke's story no more. You know, he's part of the overall picture, but it's not his journey no more. Mm-hmm. And Kathleen Kennedy's like, I'm just gonna go ahead and interject. You can watch it on. It's crazy. You saw it. I'm gonna go ahead and interject a little bit and just reassure everybody. He is so important to these films. he's being modest.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Maybe he's doing that role that you said that Anakin was supposed to, or Luke's being that role that Anakin was supposed to be. You know, the between the father and the how you were just talking about it earlier, the daughter and the son. Maybe it's gonna be something like that.
I do think that this is when people ask me, what do you love about Star Wars so much? Like, why is it so important to you? And it's because of this. Like, we're just talking about what could happen,
yeah,
what might happen. Like, every little thing, we dissect it because it's important. I mean, I was born in 80, so my mom went and saw Empire Strikes Back when she was pregnant with me. You know what I mean? So
saw it in her belly.
So, you know what I mean? It's definitely a big part of me. Mm-hmm. And the stories can go so far, and the universe is so expansive. It's really like a sandbox. You can do almost anything you want in the side stories. So
didn't is it rumored, or I don't know if it's true or not, didn't Hayden Christensen also do some filming for episode 8?
They did talk about,
so might
maybe
be,
as a Force ghost.
So yeah, maybe possibly they'll talk about how Luke became, because it was like a 35 year span between episode 6 and to episode 8 when Rey meets him, I believe.
I believe so.
So possibly during that time, you know, Luke was training to become an even more powerful Jedi, and Vader or Anakin was teaching him, I guess, or training him the ways of the Force.
It says that this movie is going to have the most flashbacks of any Star Wars movie.
Possibly to see all that stuff, maybe see Yoda.
That would be awesome. So at Celebration, they also talked about, you know, Hayden Christensen was there, and he gets so much, you know, they're making fun of him about the the sand and stuff like that. What I do find interesting is my age group, and what I'm 37, so are you around my age, Zoe?
I'm
38.
34.
34.
3.
33.
20.
and then Steven's around our age. What I find interesting is, well, you know, let's just do it like this. Empire Strikes Back is the best. It's the best Star Wars film of all of them, in my opinion. What about you? Out of all of them, including Rogue One, which one is the best Star Wars movie to you?
That's a tough one. I think I have to go with Return of the Jedi for me.
Me too, yeah.
Jedi used to always be mine.
Return of the Jedi as a kid, I got to never, yeah,
favorite. Hot sauce?
Yeah, Jedi, because Luke can do way more, which is really cool.
What about you?
Episode 6.
Episode 6, the Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is we have a coworker named Joe Anthony.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he had asked me, and we collectively talked him into watching all the Star Wars movies, and he watched them all in like a week and a half.
Or
genuinely
surprised about that. Yeah,
he got really into it.
Wow. Really cool.
Like and he's really into Star Wars now, and he likes the prequels more.
Wow. Yeah, his favorite was Revenge of the Sith.
And he's in his early 20s, like
what?
John's age.
Yeah.
And the general consensus I see is the people that are in that age group, they like the prequels more than the original trilogy.
I don't think the prequels are as bad, though.
I guarantee you the effects have everything to do with
that. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, there was some, like, silly parts into it, but, like...
Jar Jar.
I mean, for what it's worth, it's a really good story. Like, I mean, it's not, like, a shitstorm, you know? It's not, like, as bad as, like, a majority of, like, old-school watchers, like... make it seem.
You just said like 5 times in like 2 sentences.
I say like a lot. Helps me bring my thoughts together.
Your like is my or
yeah,
what is it that I say all the time? We had an episode where we talked about the word that I say all the time.
It's your trigger word.
I'm sure it'll come up.
Contest. Yeah, I'm sure it's come up on multiple times.
Since everybody here likes...
And? I think it's a hand.
And, yeah, I think so. So since everybody here, like, was it so?
No, it was so. I remember.
It was
no,
so.
Yeah, it was so. Yeah, yeah.
Which I just said it right now. Since everybody here likes
the original
Return of the Jedi so much, I'm just gonna let you know why I like Empire. Because I used to be I mean, I still like it, And I used to love Return of the Jedi because of this. I'm big on the space battles. That's why I love Rogue One, because the space battles in Rogue One are the bomb. But I started to watch, you know, look at it differently. Empire Strikes Back, the reason I like it so much is because they took a big chance, because from the beginning of the movie to the end, the heroes just get owned.
Yeah.
They just get beat down. You go from episode 4 where, you know, everything goes great. It's like the ultimate bubblegum movie. Like, mm-hmm. you find this hero. He's a farmer. He's got the Force. He meets this old man. He gives him a lightsaber. All of a sudden, he's saving the princess. He's mm-hmm. blowing up the Death Star, and he's getting a medal.
He got a proper beginning, middle, and
yes, everything's great. Yeah. But then the Empire, and it really is the Empire Strikes Back, because they get their butts kicked on Hoth.
Yeah.
Han Solo gets chased across the galaxy. Luke's at trying to learn to be a Jedi and finding out that he ain't so great, right?
Yep.
Yoda's like, I can't train this guy. He's got issues. You know what I mean? And then they get captured on Cloud City, and Luke goes against what Yoda says, and he tells him, if you go save them, you will, but mm-hmm. sacrifice everything that they have fought for yep. and suffered.
And he gets to learn his...
And he was right.
Yeah.
And so he goes, and he fights Darth Vader.
Here's
and
the classic line.
Yes, of course. But the interesting thing is, he's not a match. Like, Darth Vader fights him with one hand practically the whole time.
Easily killed him in one.
Yes, cuts his hand off. And at the end of it, Han Solo's frozen in carbonite. Luke lost a hand. You know what I mean? It's bad. And that's what I love about that movie, is because it's so dark. And it's just, who does that?
It's true.
You tell me one film that does that. Where,
the bad guys
where, yes, right? Where it's just there, and that's what I love. I love the filmmaking part of it. That one, I think, is the most dramatic of all of them, like acting wise.
Yeah.
It's more story,
mm-hmm.
And that's why. And then you get Jedi, and of course, Jedi has the conflict, but you kind of know it's going to end good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like Empire. That's why, to your point, Episode 8 could end up being dark again, but it was all people are going to do is say, oh, it's just another Empire.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. But I think they had mentioned in the panel, they had said somewhere, they kind of casually said that maybe it was Mark Hamill who was kind of mentioning, like, talking about heroes and stuff, and, like, sometimes the heroes don't always win. Like, he kind of alluded to that. So maybe Episode 8 will be where it's just going to be the dark movie where everything's in doubt and the heroes don't always win. Like,
well, I know.
Talking about him in particular.
I know Laura Dern's character is coming back, is coming in here, and supposedly she's an admiral
mm-hmm.
that has, like, a new Republic fleet. So there's issues with her and Leia, like, they don't kind of see eye to eye, you know what I mean? So you have some kind of internal conflict there, and I mean, I'm really excited. What are you hoping to see out of this movie?
Boba Fett.
Oh, no, you just went there.
Dude, honestly, I would love to see, like...
He'd be an old man, too.
Yeah. No, I would honestly like to see, like, a Boba Fett, like, movie, like, him himself.
No, this is good. So, we can shift away from that. Why? Like, what about a Boba Fett movie intrigues you?
I feel like they didn't do him justice. Like, he's supposed to be a badass MRF-er. Like, he's supposed to be, like, top-notch. And then, like, in Return of the Jedi, right? You just see him get shot down by his own laser and then falls into that pit and then he gets gobbled up, right?
No, actually, the blind guy hits him with an axe.
There you go. Even worse.
He's not even worse. On accident,
he gets killed on accident, basically.
So, yeah, in Legends, he doesn't die. He's still alive down there.
Well, let's forget Legends for right now. Let's forget Legends.
But like, that's what I'm saying. You want to see the guy who caught Han Solo. You want to see how bad...
He's like the Cyclops of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, no joke, man. I don't think they gave him any justice, man.
So to what John's saying, cavemen, a Boba Fett movie? Is that a yay or a nay?
They still officially talked about it.
Well, because they said it was going to be a Boba Fett movie in 2020, but now people are thinking it's going to be an Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah, well, that'd be so awesome to see that too.
So let's stay with the Boba Fett.
Well, speaking of with the Boba Fett or the clones, they officially canonized Rex in Return of the Jedi.
I saw that.
A little still of him, so
yes.
It kind of ties in with the clones.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. Yeah, he's all old, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But back to the Boba Fett movie.
What time period would you put him in?
Well, you tell me. What do you want to see? Do you want to see it? And B, how do you think they should do it?
Rogue One style.
Well, let's go to Hot Sauce because I don't know why I always put Gilbert on the spot and he's never ready. So is that a yes? You want to see a Boba Fett movie?
Yeah, of course. Anything Star Wars and
okay. So
I think they would have to make it like a James Bond esque type deal. You know, he's a gunslinger. You know, he's in like situations where he's just doing work on like people.
And, so you'd like to see him as the bounty hunter aspect, to show him catching people
for sure. Yeah.
See, that's probably the perfect time to like. I definitely want to see it too, but maybe have him in the Outer Rim. Like just story out there somewhere.
You could even make him like
a wild west type hero.
An anti-hero?
Anti-villain type thing. Mm-hmm. To where he might be a little trying to get his life together, you know, trying to be good, but ends up being so freaking bad. That's why Darth Vader goes up to him and goes, no disintegrations.
Well, see, he has to be bad because if you watch the Clone Wars...
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's a little shit in the cartoons. Yeah. He's a little kid and he's a dick.
Yeah.
What do you think, Zoe?
You know, I don't... Not necessarily going with what kind of story it's going to be, but I think that a movie might not be doable, but I definitely see maybe an animated series or a short series. You know, I think that...
Maybe like a Netflix series.
Right, and I think that they could really show him, like, going after people. Instead of, like, in the movies, they'll usually... If there's a bounty hunter kind of person... They'll barely show him going after somebody because they'll stay with the main story. But if they're able to do it in a series, we'll be able to see him, what he can really do over and over and over.
With different people. Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Right.
Almost like a Cowboy Bebop type feel, you know?
Like all his different skills.
Yeah. That'd be legit.
Kind of make him like that cool, he's a bad guy, but you kind of make him cool with all the bounties he's doing.
Yeah.
Or what, they did it to a movie, they could tie it in a little bit with the Skywalker saga and Snoke, like how he kind of bumps into Snoke in the or meets up with him in the Outer Rim before like the whole story begins, kind of give a backstory to Snoke.
Cool. You know where I'd like to see a Boba Fett movie? Because if you've watched Rebels, in Rebels there's a girl in there, she's a Mandalorian, Sabine.
And she
wears the Mandalorian armor. So like when they start, she gets the Darksaber, which is like that's actually really cool about the Darksaber. The Darksaber is a lightsaber that's got a black blade.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's called... And the reason why it exists is because the only Mandalorian to ever be a Jedi made it.
Yeah.
And it's actually his lightsaber. So whoever owns it that's Mandalorian is who rules the Mandalore warriors. So she gets it, right? So the Jedi Kanan is teaching her how to use it. And... she's having a hard time fighting, right? And so the other guy, the other Mandalorian guy, the one that joins them.
Oh,
it's not Garrus Rex, is it, or something? No.
No, that's the bad guy.
Well, he tells her, he's like, look, he goes, all your weapons are meant for you to fight a Jedi.
Yeah.
Your rocket pack is to keep you away from them. Your little
that like string?
The string thing is to exactly the way Boba Fett uses it.
Yeah. String.
Yes, the flamethrower is when you get too close, it keeps them away because it's fire. And so a lot of people didn't know that. Mm. So when you watch it, you understand that. So I would like to see Boba Fett hunting down Jedi during the Purge.
Ooh.
I think that would be
a really good movie
to make and see him collecting bounties on Jedis that got away.
Oh, I like that.
And that would be a good time to bring in some Jedis from Clone Wars, like the guy that has the paint across his face. Vance, I don't know.
It's supposed to be tied with Asajj Ventress.
Or even Asajj.
Or not Asajj.
Because he and Asajj were love interests.
But they have a book. There's a book right after the Clone Wars where it has those two together. Because since the Clone Wars got canceled, they have a canon book where those two are together and completing their story together. Because they're, like, basically going out and doing bounty hunts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching her and she's teaching him.
Yeah, that
actually is a canon book about those two.
I would like to see, because then you can see Boba Fett be a badass, and you can see him be a badass against Jedi.
Yeah,
that would be legit.
You know what I mean? So he would be a bad guy, but still, like, it would be kind of cool. Yeah. And then you could actually fit Vader in there, so then... You can actually kind of cross it. So, what about an Obi-Wan movie?
Has to be one. Ewan McGregor's 100% open to it, so...
I mean, that's a
he's
whole...
He's waiting for that phone call.
Where would you like to see an Obi-Wan movie take place?
Well, it's going to be between 3 and 4. That's what they're speculating.
But the thing is, he's just on Tatooine, right?
See, that's mm-hmm. what they could write it, where maybe he's not the whole time. Or during, right before, or after. I mean, who knows?
But he devoted most of...
He's supposed to be there the whole time.
Like, his... whole life to Luke Skywalker, yeah. though, you know what I'm saying?
And they brought in Rebels, they have him there as watching over a kid Luke walk by. What's up, Facebook peoples?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
John's like, what's up? Hey. So they were saying that it'd be hard for Obi-Wan to do things like use the Force and not get people to recognize him. So that's kind of like where people are like, how would he? Because he's not going to leave Luke.
Yeah,
which when we saw Rebels, when he saw Rebels and he fought Darth Maul, you knew like this guy's never gonna leave Luke, so he's not leaving. So is it that he just kind of like he's like a gunslinger that solves problems, or
I don't really see there being enough material for him to be for him to have a solo act there. I mean, they've already pretty much went over everything in his life in the other prequels. And so during that period of time, like you said, he's supposed to be incognito. So how can you?
True.
It does make sense. I mean, the only way is if they could do a story where they got him to actually, like maybe Luke went on vacation off world and he's like, all right, he's safe. So I'm going to go do some Jedi Knight stuff. You know what I mean?
Because
it's kind of hard to fit a story.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is the theory always comes up, oh, he's a Kenobi, which is... Hot sauce is one of his favorite theories. And I told the guy, I said, look, Obi-Wan's never had a love interest other than Sabine from Clone Wars.
Satine. Yeah.
And she died.
Yeah, she died.
She died. And when she died, she died when he was young.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously there's no...
He's open to...
Okay.
Single ladies.
So if he's on Tatooine in the desert, he's going to hook up with some sand... people, woman, or something.
Hey, there's plenty of cantinas around.
You know what I mean? Like, who is he going to hook up with for him to have a granddaughter?
He'll go pick up some power converters.
That's a good word, guys.
He's going to be like, well, you know, Ray, I met your grandma at Tashi Station.
There you go.
Yeah. And then we went to Mos Eisley Cantina. I bought her a couple of drinks.
I mean, maybe they can fit into where he maybe has the power to erase Luke's memory. At some point, if he goes through some kind of traumatic event somewhere.
Like, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
I mean, they could take place right after Order 66, so it'd be right where he's before he gets to Tatooine. Like, have a whole story just into that, before he actually lands, and at the end he lands on Tatooine.
Yeah.
You could do, like, where he... Because he also needed training from Qui-Gon to learn how to become a Force Ghost later on, which Yoda got that training in the Clone Wars, so they talked about that a little bit, so... Maybe tie in that.
There was an interesting... Whenever you watch A New Hope, and everyone's pretty much up on A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really weird, because Luke's like, oh, you know, he says he's the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, do you know him? And he's like, oh, that's just a crazy old hermit, and mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, okay, well, you get the feeling from it that Luke doesn't know who Obi-Wan is, but then when he sees him, he, like, wakes up, he's like, Ben? Ben Kenobi? Like, he recognized him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, in the old EU, the expanded universe, there was a story of where he saved Luke from a Cryot dragon and stuff like that. It's an old... But it's not canon no more.
Yeah.
It would be interesting, though, if they played on that and maybe he had met Luke before. Or if he's maybe an old Obi-Wan filling in Luke... on their journey on what happened in the past and kind of have a movie that's a flashback. Mm-hmm. Or even him in his little hut, like, meditating and it's just a flat... his adventures or whatever. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to do on, you know...
Yeah. Well, technically he's supposed to be training on Tatooine the whole time.
Because if they do, like, what I said, you know, I should be directing, I guess. and Luke gets knocked out, head trauma, something... So he kind of uses the Force to kind of trick him into saying, hey, this is, you know, just don't mind me, I'm just a crazy person. When Luke finally wakes up after their adventure or whatever they go through, I think that's how they can pull it off.
So that means we'll have a kid Luke in the movie?
You'd have to have a kid Luke.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work like that, where he goes on some adventures with Luke, and then he wipes his memory, but if it's a jet...
Like, more like a TV show that would be, though, not a movie.
It could
Adventures
be.
Of Luke Skywalker, young kid.
I think they've kind of written themselves into a
corner, pretty much
into a dead end. There, that's gonna be. Yeah. I think a Boba Fett movie is way more plausible
than a
Obi-Wan.
So
much more you can do with it, yeah.
So, did anything else happen at Celebration before we move on? That
well, they talked about Rebels. The
season
four
is gonna.
Season four, yeah, that's gonna be the final season. Rip. But Dave Filoni, I think that's his name, the director or creator of the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, talked about the final season. We're going to learn what's going to happen with these characters, because we still want to find out. We need to find out what's going to happen to Ezra and what's going to happen to Kanan. We're also going to get... Warwick Davis is going to be voice acting a new character. It's supposed to be Thrawn's side guy. I forget what his name is. It's kind of evil looking. There's going to be a new character in there. We get to... What else?
I know they showed some action figures. They showed Battlefront 2 trailer, the official one.
But the Rebel story is supposed to leading into Rogue One, before it starts.
Yeah, they're not going to show Rogue One, and they're not going to show Jedha.
We're getting Mon Mothra is going to be in there.
And Saw Gerrera.
And Saw Gerrera will be back as well.
What else, Hot Sauce? You were about to say something. The tribute to Carrie Fisher was nice.
Yes.
That was really nice and heartbreaking.
Mark Hamill did a whole hour on
that.
A tribute to her, which was awesome.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, check that out on YouTube. And he also did, Mark Hamill did an hour with himself, like just Mark Hamill,
mm-hmm.
and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, when I was in Dallas, he hung out for me for an hour. No other person got that, but
had lunch and everything.
Yeah, just kind of hang out. One of the guys.
He was voicing the Joker the whole time, though. First time in history of Star Wars Celebration, Harrison Ford was there.
That is very true.
A very big deal.
They were tripping out on how they kept it a secret since he landed on the freeway. And that was Warwick David's joke.
Yeah.
And then Harrison Ford shot back with but it was a good landing. So that's always so. I mean, we're really excited for it. We could talk the whole hour and a half about Star Wars, but we're gonna go ahead and move. I think we covered just about everything, and we're gonna go ahead and move on to the next segment, which is the Krypton show on. So Sci-Fi has always had these shows. And when they're so they've got good stories, but they're so horrible. The budget sucks, the special effects look crap. Horrible.
That's been their number one.
It's like watching the Dune movie, but in the 2000s.
I was about to mention the Dune movie.
There you go.
Hey, Firefly is the exception. That was a great show on Sci-Fi.
But if you look at the trailer for, and we'll post, one of us will post it on the Men of the Cave Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
the trailer. For Krypton, it looks good. It looks big budget.
Definitely big budget. There.
It is the story of. Is who's familiar with any
it's
of this?
It's the grandfather. What the hell? That's not Jor-El.
Sagal.
Sagal.
With the House of El.
Yeah, the House of El.
Yeah. So supposedly back in the day, the House of El. There's actually in the preview they show him. Having relations with Azad, a girl that's Azad.
They were very friendly.
And they talk about how that was frowned upon because in Kryptonian society, everybody, like in the movie, Zod says everyone's built for everyone's a purpose. You're a warrior, or you're a science person, or you're, whatever your role is, that's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're designed for or bred for, whatever. So the El family, they're all scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And the Zod family are all
warriors. Yeah.
And so that the mixing of the factions was always frowned upon.
The Montagues and the
Capulets.
But they also talk about that every there was lots of wars
mm-hmm.
that happened.
Including Clone Wars.
And including the Clone War, exactly.
Ironically.
Do you know why? Did anybody read it?
Yes.
The parts, they would use them to stay young. They would actually use those clones to keep them young.
Like
the parts of them.
Like spare parts.
Yeah. For they weren't they tortured young, as people. Yeah.
They wanted to
so they would live forever.
Yeah.
So they, yeah, so that was very interesting. And it said through all the wars that happened, the elves were always at the forefront, which is cool. Did anybody see how they got this the Superman thing? How it was red, the logo, the
blood,
was,
blood, right? Yeah.
The blood was so. What are your thoughts, Hot Sauce, on that? Are you excited for it? Or are you just like, eh?
No, that's actually the first one I rarely get excited about shows. So I'm pretty kind of particular.
Yeah, did.
And I even saw the little city of Kandor.
Oh,
so I'm sure they're gonna somewhere sneak in Brainiac in there. That's the whole
miniaturized it.
Yeah, theory on it.
John, you're our resident DC guy.
I think it's going back to him.
So, yes. So what do you think, John?
I love good origin stories. Honestly, like if it's gonna be a really good like origin story, I'm game for it. Like just an origin story of Krypton and the House of El, I'd be game for it.
Yeah.
So, just one question, John. Did you watch the trailer?
No.
I knew that before I even...
No, he
can check it out later.
I like to do things on my own time, my time of only.
Don't use your mic time.
Yeah.
All right. So how are you feeling about that? Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
Awesome.
The
new guy watched it.
I just read up a little bit on it, and it says this is supposed to be 200 years before the Man of Steel. So that's the time period. That there's going to be, as far as the casting, that it has two elves and then two Zods. So like a matriarch of the Zod and then a younger woman. And then you got the patriarch of the elves, which is, I don't remember the actor's name, but it's Barristan the Bold from
Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's going to be, of course, Sagal, which is the grandfather of Cal.
Sagal! That's what it sounds like.
Yeah
so I don't know. They'd have to do some really interesting things, I guess, to keep an audience with it and not... They have to make a decision if they're going to go more dark, like the Man of Steel is, or, like, say, like, even though I love it, The Flash, where it's more CW...
More bubblegumish.
Right. They have to make a decision kind of which way they're going to go with it. So, I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air as far as what it's going
to
be.
I like to use that term bubblegum to describe things, and I have absolutely no idea what it means. But to me, I think like a little kid chewing, like teenagers that chew gum.
Yeah.
So, it's real teeny, like teeny boppish.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. No,
but I think it's funny. Bubblegumish.
But that's the thing about the
like
CW Supergirl, is that's what it is.
Very bubblegum.
It's just kind of like almost a teenage drama of relationships. They're just focusing on relationships, and oh yeah, she's strong, and she can also, you know, lift trucks.
Well,
by the way, she can beat you up with a flick of her fingers.
Right, and that's what I liked about the preview is, like, they show him slicing his hand, you know, actually showing blood, which they never do, almost, you know, Supergirl.
There's your blood.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I think it has good promise as far as it being kind of darker, interesting, better story.
They're not going to be invincible, you know, they're going to actually have their counterparts.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the House of L is just going to be like, made somebody's bitch, you know? I hate to say it, but it's going to be cool to see it, you know, because these guys aren't, you know, they're not invincible, you know?
I think it's interesting that DC can produce great
concepts
and stuff for TV, and they can't translate it to a damn motion picture.
Dude.
It's annoying. But I did read, but that's all Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
but what I did read though was that this is more in line with the Man of Steel than it is with the CW series. That it's gonna. I think there were actually some references to some of the things from the Man of Steel.
The art style looked very bad.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
nothing to do with Supergirl. Definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, when he has the little thing that he sticks in,
it's exactly
what it is, which is smart, because you take the one movie that you've made recently that's good. I like Man of Steel. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah. I liked it too.
And you build on that, and I think hopefully it's seen a nice little transition in DC, because we all agree, even though I've read Marvel since I was a kid, it's like PlayStation and Xbox. When both of them are competing, PlayStation wins, but the gamers are the benefit. Yeah, you know, Battlefront 2 is coming out for Xbox users before PlayStation users.
But they don't get the exclusive stuff.
It don't matter. They get to play it first. They get to play it like 8 days. Eight days is not a couple. That's four couples.
That's okay. It still ain't nothing. In the long run, they don't get the exclusive stuff.
Nobody cares about PlayStation. Nobody cares about it. I got an A. This is going to be my new replacement right here. Conform or you're out. No, I'm just playing. I love y'all too much. I'm just playing. Yeah. I got Admiral Akbar back there. He's behind Yoda.
That's rough.
He's going to take over for everybody. if DC could start producing some great movies, I think seeing DC and Marvel really compete against each other would be great. And supposedly, the director who directed, there's a director that did Marvel movies that's going to direct the Batgirl movie.
M. Night Shyamalan.
You know who took this picture? M. Night Shyamalan, director of The Village.
There's gonna be you said there's gonna be a Batgirl movie.
Yes, that's
I didn't mean to interrupt anybody.
No, it's okay.
Is she gonna go the true history of Batgirl and what happens to her and everything?
I don't know.
Because that's dark. That's dark and sad.
You know what? So check this out. This is something that I read that we can. I saw somebody kind of break it down, and it stays within this DC. So we're kind of going off course with the Krypton series, but still DC. So somebody was saying why Batman versus Superman, what made it kind of bad, right? Josh Whedon. And one of the things that it said that I thought was really interesting was you see Robin's suit, and it says what it says on it, right? Mm-hmm. But since they never introduced you to the Robin, why do you even care? Like everything they tried to hit on, they missed because they didn't establish the foundation for it.
True.
So why should I care that I care because I know what it is because I'm a comic book nerd.
Yeah.
But when you look at Marvel movies, you don't have to be a comic book nerd to watch the Marvel movies and get it.
True.
And everybody is invested in it because you've seen the three Iron Mans and the Hulk movie and the three Captain America or the two Captain Americas. You know what I mean? And so you're invested. So that's where they've really, even if they would have just showed a flashback.
I can maybe see what this. The only tech that I can see is like they're gonna put out these movies, right? But then they're gonna want you to rewatch it and be like, okay, that's why that's that, or like that's why the Flash came back to warn him about you know so and so and tell him about that or talk to Bruce and let him know you know what's going on. That's the only thing I can see, is that they want you to revisit everything.
It's true, because it doesn't make, and even to that point, that kind of doesn't make sense, because they would have already owned the movie, so it's not like they're going to go out and buy it again. So where's the money-making, everything they do is for money, we all know that.
True.
But where's the extra money coming from if they already own it, so who cares if they watch
maybe
it on
Blu-ray again? Maybe they want it to be like an old school classic, to where you know you have to revisit the comic prior to see what's going on. You know,
I just thought it was really a real interesting take that the guy said. You know, of course, the biggest problem with that movie is Martha. Why'd you say that name?
Martha.
Aquamartha.
You're in the Justice League. All right, let's do it.
So we're just gonna go around. Are you excited about the Krypton show, John?
Yeah, I am. I'll honestly put that to watch. That's something I'd watch. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Hot sauce.
Yes.
The trailer got me excited, so I definitely want to see it.
Well, you're the one that shared it, and just so that people know, like, we don't just show up and record this. Like, we actually put a little time and effort into it, and we post, stories that we'd like to talk about in little one of our little threads, and you know, because we're just like you, and that's why we do this. So we try really hard to know what we're talking about and to come up with really good things to talk about.
Definitely.
So if we're excited, we know you should be excited. I'm excited looking at John right now. And on that note, what do you think, Zoe? You're sitting right next to me.
I've just got mixed feelings. I'm excited looking at everyone, to be honest with you. not as excited as the show, but no. It's a mixed feeling thing, because I like to see people that have superpowers. And I know that nobody's going to have anything like that. But at the same time, it's a great view into the history that's never been seen before of Kryptonian society.
Exactly.
So that it's a mixed feeling. So it just depends really on the writing and how well they put forth the story.
I think the writing can be huge. If that's a failure, then that's just another wasted show.
No joke.
Or if they spent just all of their money on that trailer and they're like, oh, daddy.
That would be really funny. You turn into the first episode, you're like, what the hell?
It just looks like bad Photoshop, the whole thing, you know.
They're like, we canceled it. okay, so some cable news came out last week, but we didn't get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin has been officially picked to be Cable. Totally official.
He's maybe the voice of Thanos.
Correct. So,
same guy.
I'm going to start off with Zoe on my right. What do you think about Josh Brolin as Cable?
I don't have a problem with it. I think he's good. I do understand the problem with the duality of him being two people in the Marvel Universe, which is a little odd, but they're saying, you know, he himself is not going to come on screen as Thanos. So I can understand that. And as far as Cable, to me, Cable, I don't know what you guys think, but to me, he was never like a huge animated personality. So yeah. I don't think it's going to be very difficult to play him.
He was really dry.
Yeah. Right.
He was a military guy, so he has that real just straightforwardness.
Right.
What, and he signed a contract, I think, to do a 4 movies?
I didn't see that, so
if
you saw that.
He's doing a 4 movies as that character, because it's going to tie into X-Force.
And going into what... what Zoe was saying is Fox owns the rights to all things mutant. So it doesn't matter if he's on two sides of the spectrum. They're never, they should never have to meet, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both characters.
But it would be. It's not going to happen. I highly doubt that, yeah.
What do you think, Hot Sauce?
He's going to do great. That's a kind of a... I get that military vibe from him. I could kind of also imagine him with like the yellow eye and the white hair.
Yeah, I could see
kind
it
of
too.
Not a huge guy, but he's
like a big badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, the yellow eye was just like one of his powers, though.
Yeah.
So it's like he's gonna walk around with a yellow eye, like flashing all
the time.
It's just
a
yellow kind of dead eye hanging out,
just
a few inches, and
yeah.
He just shakes his head and it kind of just flops around. You know. So
what do you think, John?
I like it. I can see what they're going to go for. I can see him with, you know, with, like, how he was saying, like, in the Cable suit. You know, I could see him be that. As far as him being a bad guy, he's not the first person to be, like, a good guy and a bad guy in the Marvel Universe. It was, what's his name? Cumberbatch. What's his name?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, yeah. What's his actor, though? I can't remember. Benedict Cumberbatch. He played bad guy in Doctor Strange, too.
Dormammu?
Dormammu, yeah.
The voice actor for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can pull it off.
All right, so is he yoked up enough?
No, he's not. That's going to be the big...
Okay, so there's this huge discussion, and I think we've talked about it as far as, like, the yoked up thing. Wonder Woman. We obviously know that the actress that plays her is not in the yoked up, even close to the area of an Amazonian.
She's on the cutie department.
The new Captain Marvel, the girl that's going to play Captain Marvel, I forget what her name is. Brie Larson.
Oh, I was about to say
you know, Brie Larson, she's not anywhere near yoked up or proportion size.
Look at Bane.
For it. Bane. So do you think that it's realistic, is it unrealistic for us to expect a yoked up person like that?
No. Because there's somebody that can fit that mold.
But could they be the good actor, though?
That's
the actor
thing.
Comes first. Well, look, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, he's synonymous with that character now. He's not all jacked up. Not like
he
really
would,
jacked
I would
up.
Say
he's
pretty
he's,
yoked
but not
up.
Like the comic book character kind of
like
jacked.
Small
short and stacked short. Stock, you know.
Yeah.
Is he is he two yolks, or is he like... One yolk, or is he like?
Way
is he a hard boiled yolk?
He's like five yolks in one.
Or is he like a scrambled yolk?
When Hugh Jackman first movie,
yeah,
he
looked like a
near.
Little bitch compared to what he is now.
Well, the interesting with Cable though is he wears doesn't he have like a metal arm?
Yeah,
CG.
But But that's still, yoke like, up he's, one still arm. He's still proportional, like, you know, cock knocker. He's the yoke.
You think he's gonna have like kind of almost the Cyclops outfit? Because that's gonna be a new thing. Like they're gonna be wearing like legit like X-Men. Like what's your
I
name?
Would like to see that. Yeah.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, it's a Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Yeah. She wore her.
Supersonic. Supersonic cheeseburger.
Yes.
Is that supersonic double cheeseburger?
She was wearing her legit yellow.
She had the yellow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the spandex. It was.
Well, if you watch the end of X-Men Apocalypse, they're all wearing their old schools, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can only do. I don't know why people think that's such a bad thing. Like you're gonna do is get all the target audience that you're looking for, the nostalgic people, to be like, dude, that's the shit. You know, they gotta change their underwear when they leave.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad thing. So I think...
Well, they're going to do the Superman thing and not actually have, like, the yellow underwear. Or,
of course. So, okay, so... Awesome. Just really quick. Who was your choice? Who was your choice for Cable? And who's ready for an answer? Because I don't want to go to
Russell
Gilbert.
Crow.
And Gilbert's still there thinking.
Russell Crowe.
Okay,
what the hell, man?
So Russell Crowe. Who's your...
I didn't have a favorite.
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley, I can see that.
Bruce Willis would be actually Deadpool. Be a pretty cool Cable.
Okay, now give me the serious person, Hot Sauce.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about it, so...
You got one, though?
I didn't care for...
No, I personally feel that, like, whenever there's a new superhero coming up, I like it to be... This is just me. I like it to be a relatively unknown actor that brings new life and is that person. It's not somebody you've seen in another role... And you're like, oh, that's so-and-so from that. This is this guy now, you know?
The Star Wars movies.
Daniel Craig would actually be a really good one, the more I'm thinking about it.
That's why they get a lot of English actors nowadays, because they got good skills over there.
Yeah. I think Ron Perlman could have played it.
Ron Perlman could have played
it. I think because not only... But Cable is old.
He has the size for it, for sure.
And he's got the size. I mean, look how big he is as Hellboy. And he's got the personality.
Yeah, he
definitely has personality, straight up, yeah.
I think he would have been perfect, but I think they were just like, oh, he's too well known for like action movies and stuff like
and
that.
Probably have way too many stunt doubles.
They probably couldn't fit him into the budget.
Well, how old is he now? I mean, he can't be that old. I mean,
he's got to be in his 50s by now. If not, like late.
Yeah, we're looking it up.
Yeah.
There you go. Look, but isn't that the new age for all these action people? They're not young. I mean, Hugh Jackman is in his 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look how functional he is, though. Like he works out. Like Ron Perlman's probably huge with the
Perlman's not known for his physique. Per se.
I don't know, he looked pretty physique as Hellboy.
Yeah, most of it was costume, but look how funny he looked running, dude. It's like, whoa.
That wasn't like, have you seen how he looks in real life? He's not exactly that he looks.
But Cable is not...
67.
Oh,
okay.
He's more like Han Solo's age.
Thank you.
Okay.
Too old.
All right, Eric, I can see
your CGI.
Now, that makes a lot of sense now. I mean, I'm really excited for the Cable movie.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In Deadpool.
Deadpool 2, just the general excited for it.
I think we're going to see him first in Deadpool and then the X.
Yeah.
I'm excited for an X-Force movie.
Yep, that'll be the next thing. Well, Deadpool 2, and then they're going straight into X-Force, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think that sounds about right.
I think that's, like, the plan.
So, talking about TV series, Stephen King, you know, it's coming out, so everyone's all on that, but...
Dude, it's going to be good.
It's going to be awesome.
It will be.
Awesome.
I guarantee I will go see it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It will be a good movie.
We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it.
It what?
Stephen King wrote a book called The Mist. It was a movie. Now they're making it to a TV series. The movie was actually really good.
It was a TV movie, wasn't it?
It was creepy. No, it wasn't actually.
Pretty creepy.
It was with Thomas Jane,
yeah,
right?
That's the one where they're in a little small town, and the majority of it takes place in like a supermarket.
Correct.
Yeah.
That movie was creepy.
At the end where they're all in the car and they all
that one.
Yeah, and then they
that's
find
the
out
part
they,
that
was
like,
fucked
like,
up.
Yeah. I was
like,
oh, look,
like, I would have been like glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, it's like all that for nothing.
I would let everybody shoot themselves. Like, ha, got it.
Yeah,
drive away.
Just push him out, kick him out.
That movie, the ending was so messed up.
That was very messed up.
Yeah,
because
this kid. Oh, God, yeah.
Why didn't he just get out and rush the tank? Fuck it. Ah, shoot me.
Now, Just something I noticed on that movie, which I don't know if y'all have read Stephen King. Did y'all see the Dark Tower painting at the very beginning?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the very beginning, there's an artist in his house, and the window's opening. He's painting the Dark Tower.
Dang,
that was legit. A little like cameo.
I've never. My dad loves that series, The Dark Tower.
You know what? Do you know what about the Dark Tower?
I read it a long time ago, but when I read it, they weren't finished. So I probably read like 7 of them.
What is the dark? We're gonna come back to the mist, but I know the Dark Tower's coming out. And there's nobody here that knows anything about the Dark Tower.
This is the first I'm hearing it, honestly.
So, I've wanted to talk about it because I keep seeing things on it, but I don't know anything about it. So
it's a real complicated, like...
It's another Stephen King series.
I hate explaining stuff, but this one's like... You follow a guy named Roland, right? He's a gunslinger, and the book starts off in the middle of a desert, if I'm not mistaken. What did my dad say? Is like, you follow... How can I say it? You follow his travels, right? But his travels lead you to different dimensions. And, like, it's so, like, I can't even, like...
All right, Zoe, you tell me.
As best as I can describe, the Dark Tower is the space and time continuum that keeps everything going forward. And Roland represents the good that is in all the universes, all the dimensions. And he's going against... The Man in Black, who is in essence all of evil, and the Man in Black is trying to destroy the Dark Tower and all the universes. He's trying to bring it all down. So reality, space, time, everything.
So it's actually a tower.
It's a tower in some worlds, some it's just a rose. It just depends on where they're at. It's very complicated, definitely.
Wow, sounds pretty cool,
man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore, like... But,
are you excited for the Dark Tower movie?
I am. I will say that Stephen King has mentioned the Dark Tower in all of his other books, and he says this is the pinnacle of all his writing. Everything has gone to this.
It's the apex.
Nice. It's hard. It's a hardcore like concept.
So everything that he's written has a reference to the Dark Tower in it.
That's what he said, and I've looked for it. You know, and some things I can see it.
Because I mean, I've seen. I haven't read a lot of Stephen King, but of course I've seen the movie. So I've seen The Langoliers.
Mm-hmm. That was a good movie.
And I've seen...
The Langoliers was the one in the airport, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the things that were eating the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen...
See Rose Red?
No, I haven't seen that one. Which one? What did you say? Which one?
Rose Red.
Rose Red. It sounds really familiar.
It was a TV miniseries.
I think I might have seen it.
Yeah.
I did see... What's the one where it's a post-apocalyptic world?
The Stand.
I saw The Stand. That one was like a 4-part series, and it was pretty good.
That's a long book.
Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie. What else did he do? I know
Sleepwalkers?
The one, yeah, Sleepwalkers. We were talking about it the other day. I think he did...
Oh, the one where he had a penny thing.
No,
the one you're talking about?
No, the one where they curse him.
Thinner.
Thinner.
Yeah.
I like that movie. Like, every time it comes on, I watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a flat-out... reference like everybody's gonna pick up, but there's something in there.
It might not have made it to the movie either, it may have just been for the
in the book. I know in
that's
the book that there's of Stephen King there's a turtle that's in the Dark Towers that the Loser Club have like contact with. I think that's one of the references there too.
That's pretty cool.
Is there a reference in Stand By Me?
I honestly don't know. Like, I haven't seen that in forever, and I read the books, like, a long time ago, so I'd have to, like, read it over and then look for it.
Got it.
That's very interesting because, I mean, think about it in this term. Stephen King's been writing these books for a long time.
A very long time.
And for him to basically come out and, from what I'm taking from what you're saying is, the Dark Tower, so all of these books that he's written are in these different dimensions.
It's crazy.
It's very crazy to think like he's connected it all like that.
How many books is The Dark Tower? Is it just like one main book or 10?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Is it done?
Damn. Yeah, it's done.
Oh shit!
My dad told me how it ended. It was kind of like, oh.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that off because the movies are going
to
come out. So
I'm gonna have to read the books.
Sure, we're gonna
be really interested in that.
Yeah.
So going back to The Mist, do you think it's a? I'm going to start with Zoe. Do you think that The Mist is something that would make a good TV series?
I think so. I think that they've taken another spin on it just from looking at the trailer. In the short story by Stephen King, there wasn't any kind of mental kind of effect it had on people.
Right.
And it seems like here, it's having an effect on people's sexuality, people's morality, people's sanity. So they've added another... I guess, twist or wrinkle to make it different from the movie and the short story.
What that sounds like is a comic book series called The Crossed, is where the, like, this infection infects people, right? But what ends up happening is they get a cross in the middle of their head, right?
That's a crazy comic book. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that one. And it, like, how can I say it? It makes them, like, either want to, like, have crazy, crazy wild sex with anything nearby them, or, like, just instantly, like, kill somebody. So you're either infected or you're not.
Holy shit.
And you have the option of killing. And these guys, the cross people, hunt in a pack. And then the other people, like, the regular people that aren't infected with it, like, they're just, like, left to fend for themselves. Pretty wild.
Man, so I could write a short story about that where, like, you go out with your friends to the club. You're trying to pick up some girls. And then, like, you know, that your last 5-10 minutes, you can't pick up the booty call. And then your friend's like, hey, man, you want to risk it? We can go to where the cross people are.
Well, then
you probably aren't going to make it. I'll tell you that right now.
Let me risk it.
There's a way that they can tell the difference between a cross person and a person who's not.
So that would be kind of funny. It's like, I got this chick locked up in my basement. She's got a cross on her head. But she's crazy. But you're guaranteed. Yeah. So I was like, no.
You're going to pass on that.
She's already out. She's like eating somebody down the street.
That's crazy. Oh, man. That's crazy. So, what do you think, Hot Sauce? Did you watch the Mist movie?
Yeah. It was pretty crazy, the things coming out of the... what did they describe it as? Like some type of alternate dimension?
It's like a tear in the fabric. Like an ultra... Yeah.
I think that's what they alluded to. Like some type of other dimension.
Cross-dimensional, like rift or something.
When all these different types of creatures are just... Random. Or aren't creatures, but just like a lot bigger or whatever.
You know what? It was like at a... There was a military facility.
Right, yeah. That's the ones
that... Which is kind of crazy because they got a freaking collider over there in Sweden that's huge, opening up black holes and stuff. Who knows what's going on over there?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. It kind of reminds me of... Together. Did you ever play Doom back in the day? The original on the computer?
Mm-hmm.
That story was just so creepy, you know? Like, you're at a marine base and they were experimenting and you get there and everybody's dead.
On Mars.
And then there's nothing but demons.
We saw the movie with The Rock.
I love that movie. Don't laugh.
Once again, he's in every movie.
It's no joke.
Or you know which one? Event Horizon.
Event Horizon. That was a
good movie. That was a damn good movie.
Yes. Very underrated. Very evil.
It was a very evil movie. I always went back and tried to watch the recording to see what the hell's really going on in there, but you really get like, what the hell's going on there?
Sometimes you got to read the book. That's what I had to do. I'm not going to say for that, but like for instance, like Space Odyssey 2001, I didn't know what the heck was going on, so I had to go back and read the book. You know,
how open up the pod bay? Open up the pod bay door. How
back in the day, the Spear. Remember that movie?
Yeah,
that was a good one. That was a good story.
Or you know which one? The Abyss.
Abyss too, yeah.
The Abyss is a great...
It's a face, the water looking...
That's a great movie. Yeah. And there's a director's cut of it that kind of shows more where these waves... Because I think in the original one, I don't know if they show the waves. Do they show the waves in the original one?
I honestly don't remember.
In the original one, they're just in a storm, and that's all you think that's happening. But in the director's cut or something, you see like there's these huge waves that are going to destroy, you know, the world. And then when they're talking to the aliens, they freeze. And they're just saying people are just like looking at these waves that are like, I don't know, like 200 feet high off the coast of all the major cities. And then once the aliens, like, you know, they understand love and all that stuff, they see that there's a new hope for humanity. That's why the storm goes away.
Oh, wow.
But in the movie, the theatrical cut, which they show on TV, I don't think they show the waves. I think you have to watch like the...
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. I do remember that part, but you're right. The waves just come to a standstill and everybody's just, oh God, you know, looking at them. But
I thought that movie was always cool, like, because you didn't really know what was going on, and then
it was a really unique movie.
I always used to get it confused with like Leviathan. Did you ever see Leviathan? That was a creepy, like, scary or Deep Star 6.
I never saw Leviathan. I just remember seeing it. Now I'm showing my age because I remember seeing the cassette to rent, but I was like, whoa, that looks kind of scary.
The Leviathan was it's kind of like The Abyss, where they're in a like an underwater sea station, and there's like a creature that's in, I think it's a submarine that they're trying to recover, like the nuclear bombs or the people, and it actually like it cuts somebody or it gets in their suit, and they turn into like those, they start turning into these undersea creatures. And it came from a Russian ship. So it's a scary movie, but and there's also one called Deep Star 6. They're kind of the same, but Deep Star 6 had like an undersea monster that was like eating people. and eating them. And I remember that one because it was, you know, those big suits that they dive in? Mm-hmm. It was that, and on the cover of it, it had it lifted, but on the bottom, all the, like, it had like, eaten, so the meat was kind of, and that's what, that's, and it actually, that actually happens in the movie. So if you haven't had a chance, check those out. All right, so we're on to bonus topic round. So we kind of discussed this before we started, and of course it's going to be Star Wars themed. Mark Hamill talked about a missed opportunity in The Force Awakens.
He did.
And he was very specific about it, and I never really thought about it like that because I enjoyed the movie so much, and I think Zoe had the same thought process on that too. But he said that he felt they missed a big opportunity on having Luke Skywalker and Han Solo actually I started to think, and I'm like, man, like, I'm never going to be able to see Han Solo and Luke back together. We're going to see Luke and Leia, but we're never actually going to see all three of them together. And I feel that that is a miss.
He was saying that what the big thing was is that, like, they haven't been together and that's so long of a time. And then it's like, yo, everybody hanging out again, you know? But then, like, as soon as that happens, boom. Or Han Solo dies, you know?
That's what he was saying he wanted. He would have liked to have seen that happen.
More impact for sure, because then it's like the old days, it brings people back to the nostalgic factor. And then boom, like, it just, like,
it would have been that much deeper.
Yeah, I think it would have made an impact.
I think that's more of a miss than Leia hugging Chewie after Han Solo died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're never going to get to see, like, you know, because, I mean, you think about it. We grew up 4, 5, and 6. It's always them together, some way, mm-hmm. somehow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they got separated, but, I mean, Luke went and rescued Han Solo. Mm-hmm. And Han Solo saved Luke's life, man. That's 3, you owe me, kid.
Yeah.
Or 2, 3, 2.
At the end of the thing was like 3.
Yeah, so that it's like that dynamic is like you're never going to see it. And it is kind of sad because, you know, Carrie Fisher's gone now, so yeah. You really don't have a chance to make it up. Han Solo's dead, so what do you think, Hot Sauce? I see you staring off in the distance there.
Yeah, when I hadn't even really seriously thought about it, but that's a good point because for them, it would have been nice. For Carrie Fisher, it would have been nice. For everybody, it would have been.
I think it would have brought a little bit more closure to, like, Han Solo's, like, character.
Like a send-off.
Yeah, it would have been definitely a good send-off. You know, everybody's there, then boom.
What do you think,
Gil? I remember he mentioned that he said, like, one idea he had is, like, on the scene where Kylo Ren and Han are on the bridge, like, Luke would have arrived there, like, last minute and saw them.
Yeah, like, him and Princess
Leia. So that would have been, like, one way to bring him in at the very end, and they would have been together just like for that moment, and then he sees him die, and that'd be the send-off.
It would have been really interesting, though, to see, after that happened, for Luke to try to confront Kylo Ren, and then for him to, like, maybe they fight, but he sees he's outmatched, and he takes off. And he still could have ran into Finn and Rey if you would have had Luke show up separate from all of them. Mm-hmm. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, Han could have, at the last moment, looked up at Luke and just kind of, like, smiled, but then get stabbed immediately, like, ooh.
Yeah,
there's so many different angles I could have played this at.
Yeah.
What do you think, Zo?
I'm with you as far as I didn't even think about it, but you're right as far as the depth of, you know, what they're writing as far as with Rey and Finn seeing somebody that they just met die. Yeah, it's bad, but it's nothing like somebody you have a, you know, 30-year, 40-year relationship with. That's gonna be a lot more impactful as far as the characters.
Yeah, what he was saying is that's his brother-in-law. Like, they've only met for what, 20 minutes?
Yeah,
and then yeah, he died.
And that's, I mean, that, do you think about it further? Like, that's his brother-in-law.
Yeah,
you know, like not just that he's known him since he was 18 years old, but that's like, that's family, and you know that
they've broken bread.
That is like one aspect that you really don't see, and I for one really feel like, I mean, it doesn't hurt as bad, I guess, because I'm realistic and I know, like, no matter how upset I am about it, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But it definitely was a miss. I think that they could have still made Harrison Ford happy and killed Han Solo, mm-hmm. but found a way to bring Luke back. Because imagine him seeing Han, like, then I could really see him, Luke, going more over the the edge. How do you not get mad?
Yeah.
How are you not angry? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you hold the dark side down? I think that would have been an interesting
way of
dynamic to see.
But yeah. In their view, they're trying to focus on like Rey and setting up the future mm-hmm. movies, probably.
Because it's not about
them. Down the road, so I can see them. That's yeah, their, kind of their is. Thought process, which is, you know, just
I still really think that this needs to continue to be a Star Wars Skywalker saga movie.
Yeah.
You know that's what George Lucas wrote. It's about the Skywalker family, and you can do as many spin-offs and one-offs as you want, but I think that they would really put fans at a big, at a Y in the road, like a crossroads, if they decided to try to kill Luke off and push forward with just Rey and no legacy characters. I think you're going to have some... You might lose, some Star Wars fans. Because I've read people that are like, if they kill Luke, like I'm done with Star Wars. Because that's my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I don't blame them. Because there's different types of... There's Star Wars fans that just love... no matter what, they love the prequels. They don't criticize it. They're like, I take the story for what it is. And yes, I understand that. But we also know that there's some misses there, right? You watch the prequels and you're like, man,
nothing's perfect.
They could have changed this. They could have done it this way and stuff. But I think they have a good idea right now of what the Star Wars fans want. And I really don't think that right now is the bold way to go in that direction. Like, stay with the formula that works.
Yeah.
You got to keep... Luke's got to live. I'm going to start a Luke... let Luke live petition before...
Yeah, if Luke dies, we riot kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, that's what imagine Star Wars fans that are like, I'm not, if like, say, that I heard Luke dies in this movie, I'm not going to go see it. Man, that would be really crazy.
What happens if they, like, completely boycott, like, the oncoming Star Wars movies,
Star Wars, the fans, they have a lot of power. I mean, look at what happened with Battlefront. Battlefront came out. Everybody bought it, but then they got upset with the... mad about the nickel and diming. So now... EA is like, okay, well, we're going to do Battlefront 2. There's not going to be no season pass.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to... Now they have to conform because they realize, like, Star Wars fans, they spend a lot of money. I mean, look at this room. How much money do you think I've spent? And that this is nothing. And this is all nothing compared to, like, I know people that have two rooms of wall-to-wall Star Wars stuff. And they'll spend the money for it, but you have to not screw them around. You have to make it worth it.
Is Battlefront 2 going to have a campaign?
It is.
Yes.
Single player, yeah.
It's going to have a campaign.
Ooh, that's interesting when you get to play as a stormtrooper, bad guy.
Yeah.
Female. Stormtrooper.
Basically, they see the Death Star explode on Endor.
Wow.
And so it's supposed to take in the time frame between episode 6 and episode 7. It's from that to the formation of the First Order.
Like a dedicated elite squad of stormtroopers that are like just about from the... They're born as children, like as
they kind of look like TIE fighter pilots, though. In the trailer.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Their outfits are all black. Yeah.
I just want to say that even though I said if Luke dies, we riot, I'm not inciting a riot and not saying, hey, let's riot.
Oh, no. It's a joke. What's said in the cave stays in the cave, except for the people that... But yes, of course, we're not saying let's riot. It's a...
Just jokingly.
We're just jokingly saying.
A little sarcasm.
Unless you want to follow me, hot sauce, we will riot.
Yeah. Anarchy
with Mark Hamill in hand.
Yes,
but it's gonna have also. It's gonna span all the eras, Clone Wars, Legacy, and the new and all the new stuff.
That's pretty cool. Wonder if they'll have Ahsoka in there.
That would be very interesting.
An extra character to add, because I mean they're gonna have Maul. They're gonna have
Yoda.
Those are gonna be like kind of like the superpowered
people
that come
heroes,
in.
Heroes, they call them, or villains. Heroes and villains. So.
So that's it, guys. Episode 23 is... We're done. We're in the can. So I want to thank Zoe for coming on as a guest.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We love to have people here. We try to get guests in whenever we... The problem is that we got to get guests and then, like, learn to keep them as guests because then we start making them, like, full-fledged members and then I don't have no more space in the cave and... Like everybody wants to talk, and
I like how you're looking at me.
No, not just you. It's just because you're looking at me. All right, guys. So for all of us, Gil,
take it easy, guys.
hot sauce. That was the Michael Jordan of episodes. Anybody know?
That was a good
23.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy, y'all.
Okay. Zoe, you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, goodbye. I love you all. Maybe I'll see you again. Who knows?
Bye.
And for myself, we're out. Maybe we'll have Steven next week. We'll see. All right, guys. See y'all next week.
Later. Later, guys.